Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It's Thursday night, 11/21/2019. Oh, I'll tell you what. I watched these things all day today, the hearings with this Holmes guy and Fiona Hill. And I'm going to tell you something. It's quite interesting. Just a glance at it. These people seem to think that they run everything and that it's their foreign policy, not the president's. But let's skip around that for a little minute here, because what I want to look at is something else. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but I'm looking at the fact that somebody is going to come one of these days. Somebody's going to come into your area. I don't know who it's going to be. Is it Chinese troops? Is it Russian Spetsnaz? Is it, Jihadi Joes? Is it a mixture of Antifa and everybody? Or is it the all of the hungry people that when the lights go out, when the EMP strikes and the power grids go down, and not just a cyber attack, because the cyber attack will not wipe out the cars. But if the cars go, the vehicles, the automobiles that are not of the older stripe, but the ones that have electronic ignitions, which is what, from about... Oh, I don't know. 70 on, 69 on, something like that. 1969, 70. Certainly into the 80s, but let's just say from, 69 on or 68, 69, 70 on, let's say. Well, anyway, it's going to make parking lots out of the roads. And you can have something that's got an older engine, it'll work. Maybe some of the diesels that are not of the new computerized type. You got go-karts, you got some, motorcycles, Rokus, all the different types of stuff that you can think about that are old school that might still work. Some of the, riding lawnmowers, all kind of different stuff. But I'm going to say this. When that happens, somebody's going to come to your area. And it could be the Red Chinese. It could be the Russians. It could be a mixture of people come up through Mexico. All right? Or come in the old Nazi X plan, where they come in from the corners and up the gut and drive to the middle to take the grain producing regions. So where did we hear of that before? Well, that's Ezekiel 38, isn't it? And it's verse 10, where after the Lord has talked about Gog Magog and how they're going to come against Israel, which isn't it interesting now that you have President Trump being attacked and basically to be impeached and will likely be have articles of impeachment drafted against him in the House. And all that remains to be seen, what the deals are going to be cut around the backside. Maybe they can get Bolton to bolt. You see what I'm saying? But let's go here to Ezekiel 38. Oh, what I was going to say is now you got also Netanyahu. What is the bribery, extortion, all the kind of stuff. The four articles of impeachment have already been basically discussed, I guess. and they put them out to be bribery, contempt of Congress, obstruction of justice, intimidation of witnesses, and abuse of power, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just going to be really, just really fantastic maybe to see those come out before Christmas. It's going to make the holiday season really merry and bright, you know? But let's go to Ezekiel 38. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. You go from Texas on straight up, in Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, on up. You got a little bit of Colorado. You got South Dakota, North Dakota, you got the Minnesota, and you got the parts of Montana over there, and then you go on up into Canada, and that is the grain-producing region of the United States, okay, and of North America. And that's where the cattle are, and it used to be that most of it was uninhabited. It was grassland, prairie land. It was the great, you know, prairie that basically the Native Americans had sway over, but their numbers were not that large. They had vast swaths of land to hunt the buffalo and to live on and travel and move. So we're in the midst of the land, you see, where people have gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. All right? And that is besides Gog Magog going against Israel. So now we've got the leader of the United States, the President of the United States. All right? And you've got Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. You've got all the rest of the world just about in chaos. Ordo ab chao, remember? And let's then move and go, you know, to the fact that somebody's going to come for you, but let's talk about a little bit about what that means. Because it could be this current government. It could be the next government. It could be after the impeachment of Trump, or, you know, a scenario that has already possibly been done, you know, or already possibly been attempted. We don't know. Something more along the lines of JFK, you know what I'm saying? And the fact is that now they've tried to get Trump, not only President Trump, but also Pence and Pompeo and all these people in on the deal. And you got President Pelosi, okay? Pelo chip, okay? Like a buffalo chip, huh? Because certainly there wasn't anybody up there in their event last night that could run the show, could they? Biden is like, I don't know what kind of serotonin reuptake inhibitors they got him on, but they got him on some kind of a deal. Klobuchar is shaking. It's just amazing what they've got up there. So they cannot necessarily win with what was on stage last night. So they've got to be worried. And then the great Obama says, oh, Deval Patrick will get in the race. Well, he held an event last night in Atlanta, probably at Morehouse or wherever it is there. He's there, and only two people showed up to his event. So that's the one that the great Obama picked to be the new great, perhaps savior of the Democratic Party, you see. But what's coming up is going to be Luke 21 and Matthew 24. We already know that. But Luke 21, let's focus on him just a little bit again. Now, old Hawk knows more Bible verse than this, but I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus, and I was recruited to strike blows against the enemies of the Lord Jesus, and then secondarily, to warn the remnant of what's to come or what I'm being shown that might be coming or that the Bible says is coming and how you might prepare for it. But in Luke 21... nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes like 6.3s down in Chiapas, Mexico. Now, for a number of people that I sent, I think in the early a.m. or later last night or early a.m., where I sent to you a lot of stuff describing out of the MIMIC, M-I-M-I-C, the University of Wisconsin, edu.edu's, tropical moisture thing, right? And we've talked about this a number of times. I won't belabor it. But in that, I saw these huge bow echoes that were coming out. Actually, they're pretty big, coming out of Africa and also later on, I saw them becoming great big and huge. And it's like they were coming out of possibly Africa, but also possibly out of Antarctica. But all I know, they were being directed toward the east coast of the United States, or actually from, let's say, the Caribbean on and through the Gulf of Mexico and the Baja, and then also all up and down the east coast and into Canada. And then lo and behold, we got a 6.3 in Chiapas, which is down in southern Mexico. And then the researchers say, well, the waves are already coming up here to Canada. No, it's the same wave that created the thing in Mexico popped up there. And then in the midst of these, you can see in these giant big bow wave echoes, you can see also other scalar, tit-for-tat scalar, howitzers, flashes going back and forth from the U.S. towards Africa, from Africa and, you know, up into France, southern France and different places, coming across towards the United States. We're already at war. China is at war. The evil ones, the returning Anunnaki, the fallen angel types are already some back on this planet. Some never left, I take it. And I've told you that for years about Boutros Ghali, I call him the old Memphian priest, you see. Because the older he gets, the younger he looks. But going back to Luke 21, great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. But they're going to be, you're going to be hated for all, by, you know, of all men for my name's sake, Jesus says. Well, you see, if you look at Buttigieg, Buttigieg is talking about some other kind of salvation than what you and I might be familiar with. And most of the people are in the demon commie rat party are anti-Christian anyway. And that's going to be part of the thing in the coming years. Now, somebody's going to come. I don't know who it is. But when they come into your locale, if something big has happened, if they come and tell you you got to give up your guns and that they're going to collect all your food for redistribution to the ba-ba-ba to make sure that everybody's got a little bit of something, then you must know that you are not going to be well served. Lord Jesus in Matthew 25 has given us the prescription to answer to Matthew 24, Luke 21, and various things in Revelations. We're supposed to prepare. Now, who's it going to come for you? Well, back in 2008, old George W. Bush signed directives which were embodied in the following U.S. Army document: domestic insurgency and the declaration of martial law. And it goes into great detail. Domestic counterinsurgency are those military, paramilitary, political, economic, psychological, and civic actions taken by a government to defeat civil domestic insurgency. It is an official approach invoking all elements of national power. It can take place across the range of operations and spectrum of conflict. It includes strategic, operational planning, intelligence development, analysis, training, material, technical advice, infrastructure development, tactical level operations, and many elements of PSYOP. Generally, the preferred methods of support are through assistance to local loyalists and the segregation and relocation. Did you get that? Segregation and relocation of identified dissidents and disloyal elements to areas where they can be retrained and re-educated, and leaders must consider the roles of military, intelligence, diplomatic, law enforcement, information, finance, and economic elements. It's called midlife. That's one of those anachronisms, midlife, in a domestic counterinsurgency. Now, this document is quite long, all right? And they go into types of resistors. What are all unlawful gatherings? okay, what they're going to do. You know, the ideology of the insurgency sets forth the political alternatives to the existing state, both theoretically and actually. It offers a vision of a counter state. The most powerful ideologies tap latent emotive concerns of the populace, such as the desire for justice, the creation of an idealized religious state, or liberation from foreign occupation. In other words, if you believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, then you have the ideology of an insurgency. Insurgent movements begin as the fire in the minds of men. Insurgent leaders commit themselves to building a new world. They construct the organization to carry through this desire. Generally, popular grievances become insurgent causes when interpreted and shaped by the insurgent leadership. The insurgency grows if the cadre, that is, the local insurgent leaders' representatives, can establish a link between the insurgent movement and the desire for solutions to grievances sought by the local population. So, in other words, if you petition for the redress of grievance, then you're now going to be an insurgency. Now, this goes into what they're going to do to you. For instance, if you've never read all of the... You ought to do a search engine on all of the executive orders for martial law, presidential decision directives, and George W. Bush invoked over 500 different executive orders and presidential decision directives for martial law and then had them at the ready to implement, and then he came out with this document right here. So it goes into all the things they're going to do, and they go right down into using this, which has already been done in the G20 back in Pittsburgh, if you recall. Attention, attention. Soldiers are present in this area. They're preparing to advance. Order must and will be maintained. Disperse peacefully and leave the area to avoid possible energy. Leave at once. Disperse now to avoid possible injury. Disperse now to avoid possible energy. Repeat until soldiers are committed. When the soldiers are committed, and you see they're going to do that with the sonic weapons, the microwaves, that'll burn your skin. That, oh, just going to go in, several millimeters deep in the skin. But if you get pushed up against the front of the crowd, or you get pushed up against something and you can't back out or leave, then they're going to burn you all the way through. So this is sounding what the Chinese are getting ready and are already doing against the people in Hong Kong. They've got it all down to the exact words they're going to use. And here's the deal. Organizing for law enforcement. Support to local law enforcement may be limited in coordinated actions at local levels between U.S. military police and loyalist local police. For example, joint patrols, co-location of military and loyalist police at police stations. They already have that in the fusion hives that are in most large cities and some medium-sized cities, or require more comprehensive support to national and regional police headquarters and tactical departments. You see, and then they're going to talk about doing what they're going to do. They're going to talk about going and doing stuff like gun control by confiscation. As the American population is known to be most heavily armed in the world, immediately upon the declaration of martial law and the execution by the military of counterinsurgency programs, it has been determined that the BATF will begin the process of rounding up all rifles, pistols, and so-called assault weaponry from the civil population, lists of gun collectors obtained from firearms dealers, gun magazine subscription lists, and other sources will be the basis for these mass confiscations. Gun owners will be supplied documentation by the BATF showing which pieces have been confiscated so that in the future they will be told they can recover these weapons when the state of emergency has passed. In actuality, the weapons that do not have a high value or are not suitable for arming loyalist police forces will be destroyed by order. They're going to do cordons and searches. They're going to come around. They're going to see how many people are living in each apartment or room or building or house. They're going to record the names, gender, age, relationship, the other occupants, take pictures of each where possible, and then build a card digital file with this information. Then they're going to use GPS devices to establish exact locations and to locate public buildings such as schools or churches or houses or neighborhoods. Well, don't the locals already know all that and the feds? Maybe they're going to use foreign troops. Avoid establishing a target sequence pattern. Plan and contract for the upgrade of re-equipping security forces. Ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about going... You see, and doing cordon and search. 2 to 3 weeks later, cordon and search a block during the evening or night to verify the data. But that's cordon and search. Any resistance, pop, pop, right two in the head, you're dead. Throw you on the ground and let the buzzards get you and the rats. And meanwhile, we'll take the guys, wife and kids, and do with them what we want, and perhaps we'll take them to a safe zone. And then we'll just take over their house and commandeer everything in it. Oh, yes. That belongs now to Commissar Joe. Now, on January 12, 2010, I wrote in a Hawk Talon that was published at stevequayle.com. It's called New Executive Order Signed by Obama Effectively Creates Structure of Military Governors for Martial Law. And I said, one must read this closely, but when it dawns on you that the 10 governors to be appointed by the president will perhaps soon correspond to the 10 FEMA regions, and effectively will be under the Secretary of Defense and hence the President in a system of regional military governors over all states, not just the states where they might be from. You might just experience a chill up your spine, but note that that all states, in essence, have been taken over, at least on paper, by the President and will be administered militarily. And I'm telling you then to read carefully Section 2 functions of this executive order, and you will clearly see how inclusive these functions can be, especially Item E, which has language sufficiently broad and loose that a tank battalion can be driven through it. Americans had better understand that this executive order that Obama did, along with all of those previously signed, and Presidential Decision Directive 51 and others, will be used to destroy the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and to render each American effectively into nothing more than a member of a work gang subject to the control of the regional military governor who is under the Secretary of Defense, who is under the president. Posse comitatus, then is dead. Habeas corpus is dead. Bill of Rights is dead, and only the whims and subjective decisions of the regional military governor, as directed by the president via the Secretary of Defense, and executed by NORTHCOM troopers, North America Command, who now include U.S., Canadian, Mexican, and other foreign troops, as well as mercenaries and the state's National Guards, militias, and police agencies, will be the iron fist rule of the land. Is this what the founding fathers would be proud of, or would they say we have come full circle? And that now we, the people, should invoke the Declaration of Independence once again and be ready on Lexington Green and prepositioned at Concord Bridge. I think I know what Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and Sam Adams, the old swamp fox, would say. And that executive order was January 11th, 2010, establishment of the Council of Governors. It's already in place. Now you go back further, and I've talked to you about this before, haven't I? Department of State Publication 7277. State Department Document 7277. The United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. And you go back through it, you go back to the back, and one of the last things to be disarmed, of course, is going to be the police, the local police departments and all of that. States would retain only those forces, non-nuclear armaments and establishments required for the purpose of maintaining internal order. The UN Peace Force, equipped with agreed types and quantities of armaments, would be fully functioning. It's all been planned, and they're still working on the plan, you see. And Trump has caused them some disruption. He's caused disruption. And in the midst of all of this, we got the impeachment here. Now they're going after Netanyahu. And you see, I then listened to Fiona Hill today, and when I first started watching her testify, you want to talk about a dark spirit and somebody who had a cloud of darkness coming out of her eyes, like something evil, all right? She's very intelligent, don't get me wrong. She's supposedly a mole for Soros and the NSC. And if you do not believe it by now, all these people who work for the NSC, President Trump, they're your enemy. They're trying to do you in. And the alleged whistleblower, Chiarmella of the CIA, was destined to be at the NSC. And I guarantee you, based on what happened in the hearing the other day with Lieutenant Colonel Binman, where he was said that he told people who have the proper clearances, blah, 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 blah. And he said one of them was such and such, and the other one he was not going to say his name. And then he's asked by the Republicans, well, which agency is he with? And then Schiff says, we will not divulge the name other than the identity of the blah 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 of the whistleblower. And then the Republican, I think it was Nunez, says, "Well, Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. You said you don't know who the whistleblower is. How could what he says the name of this guy then divulge the name of the whistleblower, and how do you know that? Well, allegedly, Chirmella of the CIA is the guy at the NSC that Vindman probably, most likely, allegedly, is the one that gave the information to Chirmella. And Vindman, you see, he's an excitable type. And yes, he's been wounded. He was wounded in an IED event in Iraq. And I'd give him that. He's got a combat infantryman badge. But he's also been the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, staff officer type. He's not your line colonel, you know, charging hard at the head of armored division or, you know, something like that. He ain't, you know, crossing a river to go take the attack to the Nazis or to the Japanese or whoever. He's the guy that is full of intrigue and what have you. I believe that the, what's his name, O'Neill, the guy that shot bin Laden in the raid, the SEAL. I think he said that this guy's an operative. Well, this Holmes guy, he looks like a cauliflower-eared, a little bit lighter than the loafers, pretty proud of himself, a smart boy, you see. And I think he's an intelligence agent as well. And definitely, Fiona Hill's an intelligence agent. She said she wasn't a national intelligence agent. And then she works NSC, and she's in charge of the whole thing, formulation of policy. And then they've said she's a Soros mole, but then she invokes the protocols of learned elders of Zion, ties it in with her narrative how it's the Russians who have created all of this to destroy America. And to a great degree, they're doing it because they're the ones who backed Hillary Clinton against Trump and created this entire civil war, just like Dmitry Dudeman's prophecies talked about. That the United States, in the midst of a civil war that the communists started. Demon commie rats! So Fiona Hill says, oh, the Soros, calling the Soros attack and her a Soros mole, and how Soros is, attacking the United States, everything. That's an anti-Semitic attack and trope. Well, what about Fiona? Fiona Hill? What about when George Soros himself on a 60-minute broadcast a number of years ago, in his own words and on camera, says that when he was a young Jewish boy, that he rode around in a Jeep with the Nazi, who was, you know, and it was the best time, one of the best times of his life, he said. And they went around, and he was with the Nazi officer when they confiscated Jewish homes and properties and all of the contents and stuff inside and stole it all. So you've got somebody who's nominally Jewish but looks more like Emperor Palpatine and probably, allegedly, probably worships Lucifer the Lightbringer and allegedly might be a front man for the Rothschilds who claim descendancy from Nimrod and Semiramis in their own writings and discussions, and consider those people to be the founders of black magic on the planet, and they are the ones that own most of the money center banks. And in the midst of all of that, you see, we've got all kind of stuff going on. Now, you remember I talked to you about the communications and, hey, hello out there to my old buddy, the old Los Angeles Police Department peace officer. One of the few peace officers probably were there in L.A., and he's still out there. But I was talking to you about how Obama gave radios, about 1,000 to 1,500 of the top line U.S. military intelligence, whatever, the top of the line radios, brand new, along with the NATO codes to give to the Spetsnaz that Obama hired the battalion of Morris Spetsnaz inside the United States when he was president. Remember his open mic to Vladimir that once I win the election, I'll have more flexibility. Well, right after he won the election, Putin goes in to the Crimea and the Donbass region of the Ukraine. Yeah, a year afterwards. I guess there was more flexibility then, wasn't there? So these radios, you see, that gives them all the NATO codes and all the protocols and all the stuff. Plus, it gives them bona fide radios that the electronics, that the number of that particular radio, the electronic number that can be checked through the ELINT, through the electronics, that radio is a valid radio of the U.S. military intelligence, etc. So now, since then, with the Russians getting in bed with the Turks, or the Turks getting in bed with the Russians, and then, of course, the Turks want the F-35s, but they want to buy the S-400 Russian radar. Well, that means the F-35 can then be matched up with the S-400. The Russians can tune it all up and take down every F-35 in the world. And then I told you the last time that there's a Turkish company, allegedly, I was told from the deep background, allegedly it's called Aselsan or something like that, A-S-E-L-S-A-N. I'm not sure of the exact spelling. And allegedly, this is the company that is involved with computers and communications and radio and all kind of stuff that is involved with the Turkish military, the Turkish police, and hence NATO and all the different things. And that means that the Russians now not only have that, but they have the newer NATO codes, most likely. And that also they can then go down through this. Aselsan goes on in to some of the 911 systems of the United States, which, if many people are aware, we've had all kinds of trouble with 911 in various locales. I remember down in the Crossroad District a few years ago, even before the floods and stuff in Houston, the 911 systems went down. How do I know? Because local peace officers told Old Hawk about it. And I won't say which county. But a load of y'all out there. There's a couple different counties and towns in there. So what does that mean? That means that they can go into and spoof communications down to the local level. They can say, all the police in this town or the sheriff, go over there because the bank's being robbed. Meanwhile, something's happening over here. You see what I'm saying? Or stand down. These are red Chinese or approved by the president to come into your city. Or Stand down, the Russian Spetsnaz are your new masters, you see. But now there's another aspect to this, which I was talking to Brother Steve Quayle last night. And Steve has heard something interesting and made all the sense in the world. He said that the Red Chinese, first of all, let me just give you a brief prior to. You remember when the Red Chinese hacked into all of the U.S. government personnel files, including all of the intelligence agencies, the DHS agencies, the FBI? They hacked into the intelligence, CIA, NSA, DIA, all of it. State Department, Executive Branch, Congress, and they took every single personnel file, including all of the special ops in the military files. You remember that old time we went over the ridge and into Kunsaw's territory and we had the little deal and brought over and shot the tax collector and stole the opium from him and brought it back to the CIA? Or you remember the time when we sailed in the vessel, let's say a spy ship, into Haiphong Harbor after midnight and picked up a Navy SEAL that was a stay behind in there and doing some, let's say, underwater demolition wiring of stuff, you know? And nobody else was willing to go in and get him. When some regular Navy boys with a commander called Boom Boom, true story, went in there. Of course, they had fear was removed from them, courtesy of allegedly the Edgewood Arsenal, you see. Some experiences that they were put through at the Edgewood Arsenal, and perhaps Kool-Aid that was later supplied to the boat, you see. Remove fear from them. They'd one or two climb the flagpoles, you see, but other than that, they went in there. But you see, all those kind of operations, or perhaps somebody that flew tough as nails, flew alone in a, you know, in a one-man spaceship, you see. Maybe somebody like that. Or maybe MMV types, you see. But all of that stuff is in the hands of the Red Chinese, including your health records, your school records, all your tests in the military, your psych evaluations, your promotions, you know, what you had, what disease you had in 1952 at the such and such, you know, grade school or whatever it was. And that now the AI, which the Chinese AI, is extremely advanced. And if you read Brother Quayle, Steve Quayle, and read the website, you see all the tens of thousands of researchers in American universities and American research corporations and development firms that are secretly working for the Red Chinese and filtering all that stuff back to them for nothing. But here's what's going on. The Red Chinese AI, apparently knowing all the names now, names, ranks, serial numbers, agency, blah, 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 all the intel and military people, they're dialing up secret phone numbers and cell phone numbers and of command offices, HQs, that kind of stuff. And they're asking with the proper protocols. They're asking for, I don't know, General so-and-so or Rear Admiral so-and-so or Colonel blah, 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 or even down to, you know, Master Sergeant or Gunnery Sergeant Shin Flint, you know? And when they get them on the horn, they then ask them a series of questions or something, and they then take voice prints of all of their voice and all of their stuff. Now, why is that? So that when the time comes, maybe after they've created these bow echoes that start to create earthquakes in Chiapas and perhaps in other places, or create weather systems that create hurricanes that come off the coast of Africa and slam into the East Coast time and time again. Or maybe they create snowballs, or in combination with the Russians, they then pop and hit China Lake, you see, and destroy the underground base there to the tune of $40, $50, $60 billion. So, what they're going to do is this. They're going to start giving orders that are the wrong orders. But the voice that gives the order is going to be exact voice print copy of your gunnery sergeant, of your captain, of your colonel. It's going to be the Marine Corps major intelligence officer that's going to give the information to the general, who's going to call his colonels, and they're going to tell the captains, and they're going to make sure that the gunnery sergeants are going to get everybody out, and they're going to go, or they're going to stand down, or they're going to go attack and run right into the buzzsaw that's waiting. So I'm going to tell everybody in the military out there, everybody in intel, because you're all compartmentalized. The NATO codes, the radios that are U.S. radios are in the possession of the Russians. And then the Red Chinese AI is now calling your people, getting your voice print. And it's going to start issuing when the war erupts. False orders or stand down orders, or it's going to direct you to the wrong place where your unit is going to get it chewed up and attacked. Be advised that somebody out here working for the Lord Jesus has let you know the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk on the air, striking blows against the enemies of Jesus and trying to warn you about what is to come. Believe me, any assistance is most welcome and needed. It can be sent to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. You can also email me at radiohawk777@hotmail.com. And may the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. So, ladies and gentlemen, another factor. And my old buddy in Charlotte has sent me an article, and it's from, let's see what that's from. I think I may have it still here. It's from agfacts.com, agfacts.com, harvest complication, propane demand outstrips the supply. Up in the Minnesota and the Dakotas and Wisconsin and Michigan and the northern tier of states, many of which got planting late because of all the flooding, you know, the Missouri River and all the different things up in Iowa, northern Illinois, northern Missouri, all that stuff flooding. They replanted in many places, but they planted late. And then now with crops in the ground, then they got back in October the huge snowfall. And then the snowfall, they try to get the grain out. Now that it's kind of gone, they're hurrying. And they're bringing the grain in, but there is not enough propane to dry the grain at the grain elevators. The pressing issue is extreme demand. There's plenty of propane supply in the nation, but the pressing issue is extreme demand. He reported wholesalers in the state, and this is in Minnesota, are 150% of normal demand at this time of year. I will tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that, and it's in all those northern states, then you need to go out and get you some of the propane tanks that you're going to use. And make sure you get the proper ones with the new fittings and all the safety concerns. You don't get the old junkers at the clunker deal. You get the new ones somewhere. Have them filled properly. And if you're going to use them for your barbecue grill, or you're going to use them, you know, to heat something or whatever, you better get what you need. And apparently in Conway, Kansas is where there's a huge hub for natural or for propane, that in that area, they've got plenty of gas, but like you say, in the northern tiers, there's tremendous demand for it. And then I will tell you that it just keeps getting booed, okay? We've now had another 97,000 pounds of salad recall over E. coli. The pork solution problems, all the different things, the ground beef recalls, all the stuff. A whole lot of states, agriculture is in, you know, like, you know, basically states of emergency. You better keep buying long-term storage food if you can your own, and regular canned goods. If you can get that another one more can of chunky soup, that's another ration for a day for one. Two meals, split it in half. Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Stand for Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your home, your Bill of Rights. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology and strength to close against the losing. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready. And old Mickey Lapua. Mickey, get you a good old bench rest up there. And just use your right arm. Relax the left for a little while, buddy. And squeeze that trigger. Don't jump. Ladies and gentlemen, something is going to come sooner or later for you. You be prepared, ready. And if they tell you they're going to get you guns and your food, then you'll know what to do. The cordon and search comes for you, and let me tell you, it ain't going to be the cordon bleu. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. May Lord Jesus protect you against all of you. Find superabundance. Thank you.